the angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them. We read in the book of Exodus. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. To God, all-loving Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. I want to wonder right now about the time between the promise of God's help and salvation and the moment of God's help and salvation. There exists, it seems to me, a time between when God says to us that all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well, and the moment when all things are well and all manner of things are well. In the Hebrew scripture story this morning, this time is described as follows. In verse 21 of Exodus 14, the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. You remember God's great family, how they were enslaved by the empire of Pharaoh, and how God promised through Moses to liberate them. You remember how Pharaoh said no, and how Moses remained persistent. You remember how the people didn't think God would help them, and how they felt Moses was making things worse. Well, Pharaoh did finally set the people of God free, you remember, and they marched away until they reached the limit of the seashore. There they had to stop. God's promise of deliverance abruptly halted by an impassable obstacle. And to make matters worse, their old enemies, that empire of Pharaoh, were hot on their heels and now hemming them in on their other side. They were trapped. Trapped between the promise of God and the fulfillment of God's promise. And that is not a nice place to be. But in that space, the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. I want to wonder a bit about this strong east wind that began to blow that night the children of God were stuck. Because this wind, the wind that is described in the story of the Exodus, is the wind that brings the change, that brings about the ability for God's great family to experience the liberation of God. Between the time of God's promise of salvation and the actual moment of salvation is the time of the east wind. The east wind that blows about creating the conditions whereby the people of God can be set free. Now, I need to define what I mean right now, because I'm speaking in Christian code. I'm speaking in deep holy metaphor. I mentioned something called God's salvation. What do I mean by that? I mean the work God is doing in this world, with or without us, to bring God's creation into alignment with God's purpose and plan. You see, God made this world. And when God had finished fashioning everything we see and everything that we cannot see, God stopped working, took a look around and said, "Wow, this is good. This is really good." But God, being the perfect definition of love, had no desire to enslave this world. God created all things so that they could exist in the freedom of God's love. Now, when things exist with freedom, there is the possibility that this freedom will be used for purposes not envisioned or desired by the Creator. Instead of choosing to love in the freedom God has given us, humans often choose to hate and to fear. Instead of choosing hope, humans, because I think it makes more money, choose fear. Instead of choosing active engagement with the world and in the world, humans tend to sit back, ignore, and keep their hands to themselves. They become slacktivists. And keeping your hands to yourselves, that's good sometimes. But it's not good when there are people in pain or suffering around. This good world that God has made has been usurped by forces that try to undermine, distract, and even destroy it. Now, God has never been frustrated by this, of course, but has promised again and again that God's creation will eventually live up to its potential. God has promised that those energies that seek to destroy and kill are not the eternal energies. They won't last. God has promised that the enslavement of humans to powers of sin and violence will end, and all of God's children will be free. This is what I mean by God's salvation, that God has not abandoned us to this world, but has initiated a plan to free us all from the captivity of the powers of this world so that we can live that free, liberated, love-centered life God created us for us to enjoy. But again, there is a time between the promise of salvation and the moment of salvation. This time, when the east wind begins to blow and change the face of the turbulent waters that keep us in our place, a wind so strong that it carves a path through impossible terrain through which God's people find their salvation, that east wind. I love the word east. It's an old word that simply means that direction of the rising sun. East isn't a location so much as a promise. We look to the east longing for day to break on our night. And we do not look or long without hope for the day to break. But God even gives us a wind to lift our spirits in the night so that we do not lose hope, no matter how long that night is, wondering if the day will ever come. I also love the word wind. Wind is also an old word used by our Christian ancestors to describe that intangible, uncontrollable power of God. Wind is spirit, ruach in the ancient Hebrew, that breath of God that Christ breathed onto us to sustain us in the time between the promise and the moment. The east, Easter wind in our story is nothing else than that creative power of God at work again, building a way out of our predicament into a new creation. Which leads me to my second definition. Now we know what the salvation of God is, you know, the act of God to liberate us from our predicament. Well, what is our predicament? Here are a few for our consideration. We are right now, all of us, in an in-between time between the onset of a worldwide virus and the vaccine needed to ensure we can live despite it. Because of this predicament, we are living in unprecedented distance from each other. We are encouraged to keep our bubbles small, meet in small groups, and be vigilant and wear masks. All very important, all very necessary. Families having to choose whether or not they can safely send their children to school, choosing whether they can safely visit grandparents or people who are at high risk, all because we need to maintain our distance one from another. It's a nighttime. But distance does not mean isolation. It can't mean isolation. We still need one another for courage, love, hope, joy. And as we wait for the vaccine, the east wind begins to blow in this night and inspire us to find new ways to connect. It inspires people uncomfortable with new ways to communicate to pick up a laptop or a tablet and FaceTime and Zoom worship and live stream and text. Because though we all face this predicament differently, it is still a predicament for us all to face together. In this predicament of COVID, we take time to be refreshed by the east wind of fellowship and community. What's another predicament? Well, how about the predicament of politics? Do I even dare talk about it? To the south of us, there is an election, and deeply partisan politics filling our airwaves and our sound waves. Fear is being used to elicit votes. Truth is obscured and twisted to misinform. Closer to home, we may also soon be in an election season. Fear, too, will be used to persuade. Truth, too, will be in the eye of the beholder. But while the night of politics is upon us in a variety of ways, an east wind is still blowing, making new paths for us to walk, new ways to do politics, new coalitions to build, new conversations to have, to build bridges between people. As we face the predicament and the night of politics, we take some time to be refreshed by the east wind of listening and hope. Still another predicament? We are all breathing in the smoke of fires raging in the western part of the United States. Fires that are killing people and devastating lives. Still, the east wind of charity and support through financial aid and the opening of doors in strangers' homes to welcome the displaced, even in the age of COVID, that wind, that east wind, refreshes our hearts and reminds us of the work we still need to do to care for our earth, our island, home. I don't have time to go into the other predicaments of human life: poverty, racism, the housing crisis, the patriarchy, all those phobias, the inner fear of the human heart, the cynicism of those who have lost their hope, loneliness, illness, death. But whatever the predicament, the story of the Exodus of God's great family reminds us that even though we do not see the fulfilled promise of God's salvation now, we are at this moment being given a refreshing east wind that is quietly, deliberately moving through the night, reshaping the ground and building a path for us to walk through. Breathe that east wind in. For some of us, this wind is as clear as a hurricane. For others, it is the almost imperceptible movement of a leaf in a tree. Others cannot sense or see this wind at all, but it is there. I'm telling you, it is there. For those who do see it, tell your neighbors about it. Spread the hope in the night. For those who cannot wait, stop. Be still. Listen. God's salvation is coming. The dawn from on high will break forth and shine upon us. Stay awake this night and be ready to walk the new paths God is preparing for you to move you from your predicaments to God's promise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our friend and helper, amen.